Welcome to our services this morning at Grace Fellowship of Georgetown. The Spirit of God is rich here this morning. We're carrying on here with our assignments. We know that church is an assignment. You know, I made a Facebook post a couple days ago about, in fact, it was Friday night at prayer. A lot of people think the job of the church is to deliver everybody from poverty and to see, you know, the world delivered from all forms of hardship. Nobody ever has a hardship again. And really, that's not what the Bible says we're to be doing. In fact, Jesus, here's a revelation for people. Wherever Jesus went, he didn't heal everybody in the city. Who did he heal? Those that came. Those who would extend some level of faith and cry out to God, like blind Bartimaeus, who is now seeing Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and saw Bartimaeus healed. So the assignment of the church is not to see everybody delivered from the curse. Amen. You choose the curse, you get to live in the curse. Our assignment is for those that come, is to teach them how to live above the curse and to go out as evangelists and help people where we can to help bring them into the kingdom. Amen. But the kingdom is where is our deliverance. The kingdom is where is our healing, our increase, our favor, right? And so when you come to church and an end-time revivalist church, you're going to learn how to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, how to walk in the principles of the kingdom of heaven, how to overcome every attack of the enemy by using your faith, right? And I'm of the opinion, if the devil wins any battle in our life, it's because we didn't apply something, some tool or weapon God gave us. Could be out of ignorance. In fact, most likely it's out of ignorance. But God gave us everything we need to win. And I'm determined to become a student of the Word to find out everything I can, how to live above and not beneath. Because that's our promise, right? To be the head and not the tail. Never underneath. Well, turn to Psalm 24. And we're in a series here that I thought I might finish up this morning, but Revelation keeps coming, so I don't know if we'll make it or not. But it's about intercession. God gave me a word here in August that a church without intercessors is like a nation without a military. And we understand nothing happens on earth unless it's prayed out first. That's why God gave us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so we can pray the perfect will of God. No matter whether we know what it is or not, we can pray it out without the enemy being able to interfere with it. And so our prayers open the door for God to move, not just in our lives, but in this world. And it says in Psalm 24, verse number 7, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Here it says, we are the gates and we are the doors, right? We are the entryways for anything to take place on earth. I like the verses. In fact, it's a couple times in Scripture where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He that opens, I'll come into him and I'll sup." Well, now we find out we're the door. Now in John chapter 10, he says he's the door. But apparently we're also doors. And Jesus, the Lord and Creator Jesus Christ, is knocking at our hearts, on us as doors, to open up and let him move into manifesting himself in the world that we live in, to bring forth his glory and fix everything. But we're the doors. We're the gates. And we as intercessors have the ability to pray for God to move amidst us, to speak the word of God in faith and watch the creative power of heaven itself shift circumstances all about. Oh, praise God. I want to be an effective gate for Jesus. Now, we've already talked about two levels of intercession, and we should get to a third one today, I believe. Two levels of intercession. One is to be on the wall. Build the wall, right? And when you're on the wall, you're watching for enemies approaching. And what do you do when you're on the wall? You either cry, 2 o'clock and all's well, or you sound the alarm, blow the trumpet, ring the gong, whatever you need to do to say, hey, we're under assault. And that's what intercessors do. They see what's coming and they sound the alarm. Amen. And even pray out defense against what's coming. But there's also people at the gates. And I believe those that are at the gates is really can be considered a higher level of intercession. Because the one at the gate was usually a city official, some type of a judge or an elder that would be at the gate that would determine who can come into the city and who cannot. Amen. And so as a gatekeeper, you as a gate determine what's allowed in your city, what's not, what's allowed in your church, what's not. Being a gatekeeper brings with it a discernment. See, when you're a gate, it indicates you have a discernment of what's trying to infiltrate your ranks. Amen. And we're called to be those that shut down the enemy being able to penetrate our regions, our households, our families, our churches, right? And so we're to lift up our heads. For one thing, if you're going to be an effective gate, you can't walk around depressed, oppressed, and condemned all of the time. Woe is me. Nothing goes out right for me. You're a gate. Lift up your head. Recognize you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and God made you an official in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, you have authority. You have the very authority of the name of Jesus given unto you. Lift up your head and get out of that funk. Why mess around with the world? You know, the scripture says, give no place to the devil. And when you get your head down, he's already got a place. Amen. He's already got a hold of your attitude. And the next thing he's going to get a hold of is your tongue. Woe is me. You're going to be declaring, nothing goes right for me. We are the gates between heaven and earth. Amen. With the ability to shut down every effort of the enemy. Now, go to let's see where I want to go next. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1. Are you there? And go to verse number 20. I got some place I want to go, and I'm chomping at the bit to get there. But I got to do it in order. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Wisdom. How many know wisdom is the principal thing? It's also the voice of the Spirit of God. Wisdom for you is knowing what God would have you do at any point in time. And wisdom is crying. It says, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. Wisdom is crying in the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying. Now let's stop right there for just a minute. Wisdom crieth in the gates. Now what did we just say a key aspect of being a gatekeeper is? Discernment. That's wisdom. That's the Spirit of God saying to you as a gatekeeper, you're an intercessor. And as an intercessor, you're praying and God gives you discernment. That person that came in your church is really not sent by me. They're a wolf. Do you follow me? Discernment gives you indication of that. Or discernment will tell you who you need to pray for because of a certain maybe attack they're about to come under or they're going through. Discernment lets you know revelatory information that you could not possibly know of your own self. So it's the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to you. And it comes to the gates. I don't know how many people I've heard say this, and I'm not trying to attack anybody. If this applies to you, I'm not trying to attack you. But I hear people all the time tell me, I have the gift of discernment. I can't find it in Scripture. Amen. There is no gift of discernment. Amen. What you have is the gift of suspicion. Amen. Or the natural ability to apply human deduction. You know, if there was actually a gift of discernment, every woman on earth has it anyway. Because they're experts at reading body language and signs of that the man doesn't pick up. Man listens to words. He's listening to what you say. A woman, they're picking up, what did your left eyebrow do? He flickered, you know, one side of his cheek. I don't think he's telling it. And they don't even hear the words. I've been married 35 years. I can tell you the women don't hear the words. Just kidding. Amen. No, don't get mad at me. It was just a joke. But they hear, but they pick up all this other information as well. And people get saved and they think, well, this intuition of being able to read, that a God-given ability, natural ability, to read the entire volume of information that's coming in, sensory information coming in, they think, oh, as a Christian now, that's the gift of discernment. No, it's not. Amen? In fact, I will have to say, probably 80% to 90% of the people that have told me they have the gift of discernment were all women. Amen. Guys are going like, I don't know. There is no gift of discernment. Amen. Now, there are prophetic gifts that can give you revelatory information. Do you follow me? That's not the gift of discernment. That's the gift of prophecy. Now, what there is, though, is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that will give you discernment. We all have that. But it says discernment crieth at the gates. It's in the chief concourse. Discernment comes to those who will genuinely seek God. Now, I'm going to say this as well, just kind of another side note. A lot of times people that walk around with the gift of discernment can be inspired by the wrong spirit. It's Satan that walks around putting things in people's minds and revealing information and revealing secrets. He's the chief covenant breaker of all time. Amen? But the Spirit of God, when He gives you discernment, it comes as revelatory information versus just, I discern. Amen. And so, I believe discernment is not a gift, but a result or a manifestation of the Spirit of God moving in your life because you've moved toward God. You know, this morning, yesterday, I moved a bulletin board in here yesterday, and when I did, I felt a splinter going in my finger. And it felt like a sizable splinter. But I was in a hurry to get home, so I went out the door, and I thought, when I get home, I'll pull it out. And so, all the way home, the thing was hurting. So, I'll get you when I get home. And got home and forgot all about it. Quit hurting, forgot all about it. And I got this morning, I felt it again. So, I turned the light on, and I knew where it was, and I pulled out a utility, not a razor knife. I was going to cut it out. And, because that's what guys do, you follow me? Spit on it, cut it out. And I turned my lamp on, and it wasn't enough light for me to see it good enough. It was down there a ways. So Patty has a set of magnifying illuminated glasses. In fact, I gave them to her. Got these different powers of lenses. She has it right there so she can look at stuff. Usually her nails. And I grabbed those, put them on, flipped the light on, pulled the lens down, looked at them. Well, there, I could see it then. And I cut it out. What happened was additional illumination gave me discernment. Discernment is not a gift. It's the result of having additional illumination. Amen. And if you don't spend time seeking God and spending time with God, you'll lose illumination and the devil then counterfeits your discernment as that gift of suspicion. Do you follow me? And so it's important if we really want to be those that have this ability to see what's hidden in darkness. The closer you draw to God, the more that gifting works. Again, that's not the same as prophetic, where you know things about some person. You follow me about their past. This is the gift of, hey, I know what they're up to. Amen. And so it crieth, wisdom crieth at the gates. And it says, let's read verse 21 again. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying. Now here's what wisdom says. Are you ready? Here's what's being cried at the gates of the city. Verse 22. How long, you simple ones, or we could just put in there, you idiots, but we don't say that word, will you love simplicity? And the scorners, the mockers, delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. Reject the word of God. Amen. What did I just read? A pastor was kicked out of his job, lost his church. I think the government, it wasn't in America. I don't remember what it was. See, I shouldn't have said it. But he attacked something that, I don't think it was homosexual, something like that, that the world couldn't agree with anymore. And now they're declaring the Bible is not out of, is not in alignment with current revelation of how people ought to live. Amen. So the Bible is being condemned now worldwide because it condemns certain things that people know now are just different mindsets. It says, verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Here's God crying at the gates. You need to change. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. In other words, if you'll turn, I'm going to reveal truth to you. Because I have called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. But you said it not, all my counsel. It would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Now, pause right there for just a minute. Wisdom crying at the gates, I mean over the gates, is crying out to the world, you need to turn. If you'll turn, God will bless you. If you turn, God will speak to you. Notice what wisdom is not crying out. Just live like you live and just know that God loves you anyway. I can't find the user-friendly message anywhere in Scripture. Now, we're to walk in love. We're to embrace those oppressed and preach the gospel to the poor and the downtrodden. You follow me? But never just to tell them it's going to be okay unless you turn. I mean, even if you don't turn. It's not. The curse is out there. You're living in the curse. If you want free of the curse, turn. Now, I don't bring the turn or burn message. Although there's a validity to it. Do you follow me? I bring the turn and you can know the love of God because it's the goodness of God to bring men to repentance. But we have taken the turn message out of much of the gospel declaration and said, just know that God loves you. And now the churches are being filled with people that just walk around thinking, well, just God loves me no matter what. And if you really want to have wisdom at your gate, there's a turn required. Amen. And if you are a gate, if you're truly a gate to God and you're in intercession, God's going to show you things wrong around you that need to be changed. Not talking about in your life, that'll happen too, but I'm talking about in a city that you can't let stand anymore. Amen. We were never meant to cover over or embrace sin. We were meant to expose it. If you follow me with that. Let me restate that. We were meant to hold a line regarding righteousness and holiness that will speak for itself. And then when people say, how did you get what you get? How come you have so much peace? You can then say, because I turned. And you can turn too. Does that sound better? Verse 26, again, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock at your fear when your fear cometh. Hold this spot. Go to Psalm 2. How many know where I'm going? Anybody? I'm going to Psalm 2. I just said it. See if you're paying attention. Psalm 2, one of my favorite psalms. God, I pray this all the time over this nation. Are you there? Verse 1, why do the heathen rage? Would you say the heathen are raging right now in this nation? They have what has now been termed as Trump derangement syndrome. TDS, Trump derangement syndrome. You say the name, they go into a cussing fit. There's a subset of that in Kentucky called Bevin derangement syndrome. Amen, because they've been lied to about our governor, who is now, I might say, our governor is now approved Bible study in the schools in Kentucky and encourage the kids to bring your Bible to school. In fact, last Thursday was Bring Your Bible to School Day in Kentucky. Holy glory to God, for a governor will stand for truth. Yes. But people are caught up in, well, he messed with the insurance plans, you know, the retirement plans of the teachers. Not the ones about to retire. Just the new ones coming in. He shifted the program so we can actually remain solvent as a state, financially solvent, which should have been done 40 years ago. But other governors thought it'd be fun to spend that money on their own pet programs and buy, you know, use it for other purposes instead of being in a fund that could fund the teachers. So now changes have to be made. But we have a godly, spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled governor in Kentucky. Amen. In fact, I get to go to the governor's mansion here and again in a week or two. So praise God for a pastor's gathering. He's going to speak to us. Amen. I've not met him personally, but he speaks to us as groups. And I can guarantee he is a man of God. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, gnash their teeth, cuss, go into screaming, me fits, and I have to leave the nation? I can't live in this nation anymore. It's too prosperous. Amen. And the people imagine a vain or powerless thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, that's me. That's the president. Saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You want to know why the wicked are so upset with the church, with Christianity? Because they have them bound up in standards of morality they don't want to follow. They want sexual liberty. You know, when I speak to people or see posts online, and I know people that they're sensible people. But yet when you start talking about true holiness or godliness or, you know, the church and operate, they go off in these total mind-warped fits about how bad the church is and they're just after money. And that's really not the root of their concern. They're not the ones giving any money to the church. They don't like it because the church tells them abortion is murder. That's what they don't like. Fornication is a sin. And homosexuality is an abomination before God. They don't like that. I saw a statistic the other day. I haven't checked the validity of it. There was a statistic posted that 50% of all avowed Satanists are homosexual. I don't have a problem believing it because I've seen the parades and the protests. Amen. They hate the church because it holds a standard of truth that tampers with their peace, their false peace, right? So they're raging. They're taking counsel against the Lord and against His anointing. And they don't want any type of boundaries set in their lives, of truth at least. They just want to set them over your life. Verse number 4 is the verse I love. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. They are in derision right now. It should be called Trump derision syndrome. They are in freaking out mode. Amen? And what I find amusing is they were about to celebrate. Every demonic spirit in the world was about to celebrate the election of a president that would totally bury this nation 2-3 years ago. Amen? They were about to celebrate that like no other celebration, but instead, they're in derision. Amen. In fact, that was another part of that prophecy, that Kim Clement prophecy I told you about earlier, is he says, they will try to elect a witch. I believe they tried it. But derision happened instead. So they were about to celebrate the demise of Christianity in the nation because they were about to bury the church. Amen? But instead, now the church should be celebrating. And the wicked are in derision. And this is just the beginning. Do I celebrate people in derision? I try not to. I try to keep a humble attitude, you follow me? But when somebody wants to take me out and it's reversed, I have to admit there is a little bit of smile comes on my face. Amen. I like winning. Praise God. Are you tired of winning yet? It says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Now here's the question. Are you born again? The scripture says that the saint is already, once you're born again, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6. So you're born again, where are you seated? So what should you be doing? Laughing. We should be laughing. Let's try it. Ha 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 ha. Devil, you tried to take us out. You couldn't. Ha 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 ha. Devil, you tried to take this nation over. Ha ha ha. You couldn't do it. Oh, glory to God. God's put his man of faith and power and anointing in the White House. Ha 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 ha. Ought to get me some responses, I'm sure. Let me throw this out as well, because some people are saying that, you know, if you vote for Trump, you hate certain people. Let me tell you what I hate. I hate abortion in this nation above all else. Abortion feeds the demon principality of Molech that gives him authority to move in this country. We shut down abortion, we starve out Molech in this nation. And light's able to shine through more than ever before. That word that Pastor Nancy brought forth in during praise and worship of the black veil being rolled back and underneath it was a dome of glory. I believe that thing's going to roll back as we shut down abortion in this nation, which is another thing our governor in Kentucky has done. He's virtually shut down abortion in Kentucky. But Illinois has now built an abortion mill targeting, in other words, to do mass abortion processing in America. Looking to abort, what, over 10,000 babies a year? Crazy. So there are some sheep states. And there are some goat states. Let me restate that. Illinois, my friend, you're not a goat state. You just have a goat city. Amen. But God wants to save Chicago. Bring the glory to Chicago. And we have many great churches in Chicago. Bill Winston Ministries and others. He wants to bring the light to that region. Amen. But we laugh. We celebrate. Right? Look at verse 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. God has set Jesus on his holy hill. It gives us the promise of victory. Amen. And he set a holy man in the White House. Amen. Not one that was pure as the driven snow in the past, and some of his tweets may be questionable now. but he's anointed of God. Amen. Now go back to Proverbs chapter 1. And it says, let's go back to the verse we were on, verse 26, I will also laugh at your calamity. What's this? This is he that's sitting in the heavens, he's laughing. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when your distress and anguish come upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Now let me stop right there for a minute. This apparently says that when the wicked totally reject God, now I'm not talking about where maybe you made some mistakes and you repented and you think maybe God's given up on you. That's not you. If you repent and you're going after God, I don't care if you mess up 50 times. He'll keep forgiving you as long as you're sincere, not using it as an out. But apparently there comes a place where the wicked keep rejecting God. So when destruction finally comes, it's too late. Where they've mocked and scorned and rejected and persecuted, and then when everything collapses around them because the curse came into full manifestation, apparently it's too late to call them. Now, it may be they have no heart to. I don't know. But I know I saw that speedboat going up the river in that vision, and behind everything was collapsing. That could indicate a too late moment. It's interesting that studies show that when people are about to die, and they know they're about to die, you would think they'd call upon God if they're wicked. But it doesn't happen. They cuss like never before. There are recordings that have taken place in airplane crashes where they knew the plane was going down. And you think it'd be a mass repentance moment, but people are cussing God, cursing the name of God, going down in the plane. Because the true sin person at that moment, the filters are taken off, and the true sin nature comes into full manifestation. So there's coming a time, it may be too late for some to repent. So it'd be a good idea to do it now. Amen. Verse number 32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. In other words, when they reject you, when they reject reproof or repentance at the gate, and instead they attack you, God says they rejected their ability. Turn to me later. But whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. I have no fear of what's to come. How about you? I don't rejoice in the day of the Lord because the scripture says not to. God says, don't rejoice in the day of the Lord. It's a day of destruction. Amen. It's a day of the wrath being poured out. Don't rejoice in it. Know you're safe, know you have no fear, but it's not a day to rejoice because people are being lost for eternity in that. We rejoice in the harvest, right? I thank God there's 4 months left till the harvest. Amen. 4 months left in harvest time. The fields are white. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? Now remember, that's the Holy Spirit, right? She standeth in the top of the high places. High places are a place of prayer too. We're going to get to that in a minute, I believe. By the way, in the places of the pass, she crieth at the gates of the entry of the city. You want wisdom to cry to you? Become a gate. Become an intercessor. Pray. Amen. Just pray in the Spirit. You may think you're praying for you, but you're praying the perfect will of God for whatever God wants to pray out through you. Pray in the Spirit. At the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors, amen. Unto you, O man, I will call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Wisdom gives discernment at the gate. Wisdom visits the gates. How many want more of the Spirit of God? How many want more of the presence of God in your life? Pray. Here is a spiritual principle which becomes a spiritual law. The presence of God comes on those that will seek God. Amen. Friday night, all night prayer. We didn't even pray that long Friday night. But after about an hour, the presence of God descended in here in such an intense fashion. Again, nobody wanted to move and disturb it. I mean, just an intense release of the presence and the peace of God. Were they seeking His face? Praying out His will. Praying in the Spirit. And here come the Holy Ghost again. Oh, glory to God. He shows up for the gates. Proverbs 8, look at verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth favor, or findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. We've been speaking in here on Sunday mornings about the blessing of the Lord, right? We're the blessed of God. How many are still confessing the blessing on your life every morning? I need to preach it again, don't I? You got to remind yourself these things. Write it down. I am blessed of God. I will be blessed today. Blessings come at me from every direction. Why? I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm blessed to be a blessing. You confess it, but it says blessing comes to those at the gates. Become a prayer. Become an intercessor. And watch God bring the blessings to your life. Now, that being said, let's go to this one. We'll just call this just for fun. Proverbs 31. Are you there? Verse 23. This is talk. Remember the Proverbs 31 is about the virtuous woman, right? Who does everything perfect, just like all of you. Amen. Verse 23. Her husband, the husband of the virtuous woman, is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. A woman becomes wise, becomes blessed, becomes, how can I say, in lockstep with the plan of God when her husband becomes an intercessor at the gates. See, too many husbands trying to fix their wives. And it goes both ways. But if you spend time at the gates, the Spirit of God will fix your spouse. And I believe this goes both directions. Become a prayer. God will take care of the marriage. Amen. Because you'll probably correct some things in you that'll help you have a better marriage. Amen. Now, that being said, go to Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to teach something I've not heard before. I don't know why it never occurred to me before. But last night, was it this morning? This morning, probably about 6 o'clock, I woke up, so I got in the Word, got in my notes, was studying, and I saw something in a fashion I'd not seen before. Now, remember when the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who do men say that I am?" Right? And they started guessing you're Elijah, one of the prophets, right? And then he said, but who do you say that I am? And what did Peter say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Go to verse number 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. How many know he had a download of information from heaven? Right? Spirit of God showed this to him. And he says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. What's the rock? Revelation. The rock of revelation, knowledge that the Spirit of God will show you the plans and purposes of God. The Spirit of God will show you wisdom from heaven itself. Upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and with it the power of binding and loosing, right? Now, we've talked about it in here many times, that the keys of the kingdom of heaven, the keys of the kingdom of heaven are the spiritual principles that we can activate to see God's power released into our lives. Spiritual principles like tithing, sowing and reaping, the power of what you say, power in your words, honoring your father and your mother. There's lots and lots of spiritual laws that we apply in our lives to see heaven manifest. Amen? But the verse before, he says this, on the rock of the revelation given by the Holy Spirit, filling that in, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, when I was first saved and I read that, and really this is what they were teaching, that the church is just hanging on till Jesus comes. We didn't know about faith, or at least I didn't, or about spiritual principles. We were just trying to hold on to our salvation, amidst all the attacks of the enemy. Oh, let me not let go of God's unfailing hand as I feel like I'm being drawn down to the pit. Let me not turn back to the world, you know. And so I always had this image in my mind of the saints being a small little band of unarmed, beat down, you know, unworthy worms. And the devil, we have a set of gates, and the devil's pounding against our gates trying to come in to take us all out. So there's not even any church left. And that's not what the scripture says about us. We're not worms. We're not unworthy. We're God's bride. We're his army. Amen? We're his warriors. It didn't say the gates of heaven. It says the gates of hell will not prevail. We're the ones attacking the gates of darkness. Amen. And this morning, I was reading that verse, and I started seeing the gates of hell. How many want to hear about the gates of hell this morning? Well, let me tell you one of the primary gates of hell. Fake news. The media. The devil buying out every news agency in America. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, I listen to talk radio a lot. And every 30 minutes the news comes on, and every 30 minutes the news says Trump's from hell. I don't care if it's ABC, Fox, whatever it is, they all say, you know, conservatives is ruining the nation. But here's what wickedness is producing that's good for the country, you know. One of the number one gates of hell that the devil hides behind that keeps his power is fake news. Have anybody heard that before? That was the gate of hell? And it was so, when I heard it, I'm going, yes. When I had that revelation, yes. Fake media is a gate of hell. That's what they're hiding behind. It's not a natural set of gates. There's not some set of spiritual gates out there in the realm the devil's hiding behind. There is something acting as a gateway from revelation. Remember, on this rock I'll build my church. And that represents revelation coming to the people of truth and righteousness. Amen. Even the truths of creationism are being bottled up by the devil's gates, where he's established filters of what information is allowed to come to the peoples. That's his gate. How about university professors? You want to know another gate of hell? The NEA, National Reeducation Association. Ought to be NRA, but that's Rifle Association. The National Education Association. You can't go anywhere in this nation in education unless you walk lockstep in anti-God thinking. And in many colleges, there have been polls that found that there's almost no conservative professors. Amen. And now in the schools, they're teaching more socialism than they are capitalism. More ungodliness than they are anything about Christian roots to the nation. Amen. And how many know it's been years, almost, what's it been, 56 years since they took prayer out of the schools? I remember when it happened. I was in third grade. Prayer out of the schools for 56 years. Why? To reinforce that gate. But Scripture says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Our intercession is taking the gates of hell off of the hinges. How about wicked politicians? Amen. Wicked politicians are a gate of revelation coming to the peoples. See, the devil's not concerned about a little remnant church that is getting all this download from heaven, but they can't get it out beyond the gates. So if you want to know what the real gates of hell are, the gates of hell are all these blockages, these walled up areas in the world that keep what the church is getting from getting out to the peoples. Even when we have a conservative outlet, which one time Fox News was, when they'd have a religious speaker and it was some father something with no revelation, talking in religious overtones. There are no revivalists, for the most part, getting past the gates of hell to the multitudes. Except through shows like Sid Roth and some of the Christian programming networks. But the wicked aren't watching those. Amen. So he's still got a gateway there. You want to know something interesting? I did a lot of, I lived on a farm for years, you know, a lot of farm work, hauled a lot of hay. And a common term we would say was jump that gate. Anybody ever say jump that gate when you jumped a gate? Jump that gate. Go over and jump that gate. Well, when God put President Trump in the White House, he jumped the gate. He went right beyond all their media stuff, went right over, tweeted right past all the political powers and the media powers, jumped that gate, went right into the White House, past every gateway they had. And then guess what he had? And then he put all these holy, not religious people, Holy Ghost people, supporting the president, straight path, jumping the gate straight into the White House. And the multitudes aren't hearing about it. You may not be hearing about it, but President Trump is surrounded by Holy Ghost-filled advisors and counselors and people praying for him. I saw a video the other day. I think one of the most beautiful voices out there is a guy named Tate, Michael Tate. Anybody know who Michael Tate is? After service, we'll play Michael Tate for you. Michael Tate was a lead singer with DC Talk years ago. He had his own group for a while. Now he's lead singer for the Newsboys, which I love the Newsboys. And he's got a voice anointed from heaven. And here a couple weeks ago, he did a concert at the White House, private concert of worship at the White House. Not hearing about that. Amen. But I'm not talking about just doing a concert. I'm talking about leading worship. And he's a worshiper of God, anointed for it. Oh, glory to God. God's got gate jumpers. You know, when Is this okay with you? I'm running out of time. I got 10 minutes. In World War II, Germany had taken over all of Europe. In 1944, June 1944, the plan was launched to take over Europe away from Germany. So America landed hundreds of thousands of troops, in fact, a million troops or so, in England, just outside of the boundaries of Europe. And on June 6, 1944, what was that date, Mr. Soulsby? What was June 6? Well, what was that day called? June 6, 1944. D-Day, right? D-Day. June 6, 1944, we had D-Day, where we stormed the beaches of Normandy and marched across France and Belgium and into Germany and booted Hitler out, right? Won World War II. Well, before D-Day, have you ever seen the movie or the miniseries Band of Brothers about the 101st Infantry Screaming Eagles airborne? Well, we flew all these soldiers the night before D-Day, flew them in gliders and other planes and dropped thousands of troops behind the beaches straight into German area to take out bridges, to take out the ability for Germany to reinforce, to create a distraction and a diversion. And they are one of the main reasons D-Day was a success, was the pre-jump that night before. And so, in the same fashion, God had a pre-jump behind him in enemy lines into the White House, right into what they thought they held and were about to take for eternity. Jumped everything and went right into it, and now he's about to take the gates out, between crushing between the people outside invading and the White House holding. There's about to be a crush in between to shut down this darkness. That's my prayer. That's my belief. Amen. And so, I thought you couldn't get political in church. Well, maybe we should just tell some nice stories about how Mary had a little lamb and his name was Jesus, and we can just go on. Amen. The church has got to come out from the walls. It says the gates of hell will not prevail against us. How can we attack gates we don't know exist? How about another aspect of the gates? We talked about the media, fake news, the education system. How about this one? And wicked politicians, business oligarchs. Now, an oligarch is a very wealthy businessman who gets involved politically. And we have the leaders in Google and Facebook doing everything they can to shut down conservatism. Amen? I was doing some searches last night for some stuff on Google, and my searches were totally shut down as far as couldn't find what I was hunting because they had filtered that type of stuff out. So I went to DuckDuckGo. Stuff came up. Amen. Wicked men running companies. Now Google's bought Drudge Report, so it's now in, it's down, been bought out for darkness. But God has a plan. The gates of hell shall not prevail. So business, wealthy businessmen become gates of hell. How about George Soros? If you know who that is, right? Using billions of dollars to try to shut down light. The Jeffrey Epsteins, who hold everybody in a form of blackmail to do their wicked will. The Rothschilds, who control the wealth of the world. We don't know. They stay hidden undercover. They're like the leaders that don't you never hear about, but obviously have their tentacles reaching around the world. That will fund wars because no matter who wins, they're going to make money. And then I'm going to throw one other one out. And I'm not saying I believe this, but I believe it represents something I do believe, and it could be true. But there's much talk in what's called conspiracy circles of the Illuminati, a group of people that control the reins of the world. Amen. Much like a worldwide mafia that are sold out to Satanism. I don't know if the Illuminati are real or not, but I do know there's a prince of the power of the world that controls the reins of kings and most that are in authority. But God is now into gate jumping. He's infiltrating on the inside to put pressure on both sides, to have the devil being attacked from two different fronts, to shut down and take his gates off the hinges. When President Trump, 3 years ago, really 4 years ago, started talking about draining the swamp, I had no comprehension of just how mucky that swamp was. How deep it ran into the veins of every establishment in this nation. But since, it's way beyond whatever thought, and probably still even further than that, with tentacles into pedophilia, sex trafficking, drug operations throughout the nation and worldwide, buying kings and presidents. But God has a plan to shut this nonsense down. And the revelation that we now have regarding how deep the swamp goes, not just in America, but worldwide, should give us greater understanding of what the gates of hell really represent. Everybody agree with what I'm talking about, the gates of hell? Do you see it now? And so when God says the gates of hell shall not prevail, He's got a plan to drain the swamp, to take these reins of media and put them in the hands of the righteous, of the schools, and put them back in the hands of godly teachers, to take political leaders out and put in men full of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important that we come out of the four walls of the church, become community ambassadors and intercessory gatekeepers to pinch the devil from two different directions. See, we're in here praying, we're hitting from one direction. When we go out in the community, we're hitting from another direction. And we have the devil closed in to take those gates off and destroy them. I hate wickedness. The Bible prophesies. The Bible prophesies about the glory is going to come into all the earth. In fact, we're going to go there next week, but I'm out of time for today. We're going to talk about towers next week, which is the highest level of intercession. Amen? Oh, glory to God. When you're in a tower, you're touching heaven. Habakkuk was given this word from God. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now follow me on this. Do you believe the glory's coming to the earth? Well, it gives us not just an analogy, but it gives us a process as the waters cover the sea. Now, how many know the seas are covered with waters? If it's not, it's not a sea anymore. Now, structurally, have a lake that's not covered with water, but it will be again. But waters scripturally represent the outpouring of the Word of God anointed by the Holy Spirit. Do you follow me? The waters being poured out. The Bible says we are cleansed by the washing of the water by the Word. It's the Word anointed by the Holy Spirit being poured out. And the seas represent the seas of people. The multitudes. You ready for this? the glory's coming, and it's going to come as the revelation of the Word anointed by the Spirit of God gets to the seas of people. You know why it's not there? Because of the gates of hell. So for the glory to fully manifest means the gates of hell have to come down. The gates will have to come down for the revelation to get to the peoples effectively, which is going to work hand in hand with the glory being poured out on the earth. And right now, God's working behind the scenes to pull down gates. Oh, glory to God! Hallelujah! It excites me. I don't sound good when I scream, but God's bringing down the gates to get us in position to release the revelation of the Word that's going to manifest the glory worldwide. Now, the glory is going to start with the remnant church, but it's got to get to the world. That means that that glory is going to, on the remnant, is going to help take down the gates to penetrate all peoples. And then comes the harvest, and then the end shall come. How can our sons and daughters come from far if they can't hear the Word because of the gates of hell? Thank you, Jesus. But it's about to happen. Oh, I invite you to take this message and give it some of your friends. Get some CDs, DVDs, whatever you got to do, get this thing out. And let's attack these gates. Initially in prayer, secondly by fulfilling the assignment God gives us to do. Thank you, Jesus. Well, listen. We're not just in a transitionary time. We're in a totally inversionary time. It's coming right here, an inversionary time. Transition means you're moving from one level to another. Inversion means things are flipping upside down. What was good is now evil, and you follow me? What was in charge before is not anymore. So, Father, we thank you in this church. There are none sick, none oppressed, none in fear, none in any level of sorrow whatsoever, other than godly sorrow, which worketh repentance. None in unforgiveness, none in strife, but each one walking in the fullness of the peace and the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.